This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
country girls. I think they all done got hip.
Yeah, this guy was not cooperating from that.
You
What's
know
that?
There ain't no country girl.
I'm hearing the music, I can't hear you.
I think they all done got hip.
I can't hear you, Julie. All I hear
now,
is
now Daisy don't want to go to the movie.
Yes, I can. Yeah. All right. Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, June 25th, 2019, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is. It really is a wild ride this morning. Technology is a little fickle. It's not our friend this morning, but that's all right. We'll get through it. So for a few minutes, we're going to do this, and at the bottom of the hour, we'll probably be golden as far as technology is concerned. Anyway, a couple of things. First, I was reflecting on the fact that we missed the annual commemoration, I guess, which is not a great way to put it, but the commemoration, for lack of a better term, of Robert Kennedy's assassination earlier this month, because, well, there were things happening, personal things, and so I missed that, but I usually try to do that, particularly because it was a pivotal moment when things went further in the wrong direction. There seemed to be the winds of change were blowing, and the administrative forces could have been beaten back at that moment. I've mentioned it before, the fact that Martin Luther King was assassinated 2 months earlier. And then Bobby Kennedy, who was probably on the road to the White House and with considerable experience under his belt, to work to beat back the forces that were probably responsible for the assassination of not only Martin Luther King and other folks, but also, of course, Bobby Kennedy's brother, JFK. And so we missed that. I also thought it was, you know, to me, it begs repeating with regularity that while Bobby Kennedy was on the campaign trail on April in Indianapolis, while it was a tumultuous time, and he was encouraged to avoid that stop, but certainly not the neighborhood that he wound up in. He did decide to stop there and was there on the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated. And his extemporaneous remarks were probably singularly responsible for quelling civil unrest there while the rest of the country erupted in riots and civil unrest. And to me, it's that sort of mental picture, it's that sort of spirit that really embodies and encapsulates what that moment represented as far as I'm concerned. Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy probably able to work together, and you pull in the other forces of society to be able to create a cohesive society in sort of anti-Bernaysian fashion. Leadership interested in people with compassion and interested in helping and even letting people live their own lives. And Cesar Chavez, obviously a part of that discussion, where you have these forces coming together, really in the best interest and to the benefit of the average citizen, so to speak, instead of an oligarchical authoritarian regime. Anyway, we missed that this year, and so I'm just gonna maybe do a brief So, Bobby Kennedy, we missed that, and so I'm just, this is just a little reminder. Obviously, it was June 4th, 1968, so it's been 51 years now since Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. But one of the things that got me thinking about this was an article that I'll get to here in a little bit, that finally, the way the article reads, finally there's software that can remove people from photographs. And the last time I looked, I haven't looked yet today, but the last time I looked at the Wikipedia entry for the term, the Orwellian term, unperson, there was one of the great historical examples of this before the digital technology existed. And to me, that's what this represents. We're supposed to embrace the dystopic Orwellian idea of removing people from photographs. You're altering history when you do that. And, I know that there are personal reasons people might want to do that. Maybe many of us, if not all of us, have experienced some of those kinds of situations, but it's changing history when we do that. Better probably just to fold the picture or, cut it, as some people have done. That's, usually the sort of joke, rather than actually remove the person from the photograph. This, to me, just seems a further, another step down the road in that sort of Orwellian dystopic nightmare becoming a reality. And so it seems to me that we would do well. The earth belongs in usufruct to the living, as Jefferson said, and that is something that always sticks in my mind, or stands out in my mind. However, if we have no sense of history, including our own personal history and our own family history, then we have a continual sense of, or a longing for, place and a sense of belonging, and bad guys know that, they study that, and play on that in the reordering of society. So it seems to me we would do well to go back and remember history. And again, one of the most remarkable aspects of that moment in history, and there are so many reasons to appreciate that moment. I mean, obviously, it was a difficult time, the late 60s. There were reasons to be frustrated and disappointed. Vietnam and some of the other social turmoil that was fomented, I believe, is probably a reason to be frustrated. But Detroit was something I think to appreciate at that time, and many other things in the country, including this sense of coming together politically. And again, the experience that Bobby Kennedy had and the deep knowledge of the inner workings of the shadows of power, basically, and what could have transpired had he actually made it to the White House. So I would encourage us all to maybe revisit that history, our history as a country, as controversial as it has been at times, it's still our history. And not only our history as a country, but our history as people and families. And it seems that is kind of a lost art. Families used to tell stories. It's one of the most remarkable things about the Bible, the most remarkable aspects for a long time. It was just history that was passed along verbally and then was written down. And it's in some cases, the argument has been made that it's a disservice to write that history down because then we aren't encouraged to remember it so that we can repeat it. And there's an argument that makes us lazy and apathetic to a certain extent. But at this point, it's gone even further. People rely on things like social media, which is unreliable at best, when we see the censorship and the efforts to control what people can say, how they can say it. And that's something else that we'll talk about today. There's an article that I read earlier today about how Google's corporate policy now includes language that prevents folks from speaking out against these pride parades and things that are happening across the country in conjunction with the Drag Queen Story Hour. I mentioned the situation that happened in Spokane, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. And it's hard to argue, difficult if not impossible to argue, that these things are not a Bernaysian propaganda and social engineering stunt. When you see the coordinated effort that goes on, I mentioned, for instance, in the case of the Spokane example, that in the Inlander, the Village Voice newspaper of the area, the week prior to this psychological operation at the South Hill Library in Spokane, that the cover of the Inlander featured a drag queen. All kinds of esoteric symbolism. A man dressed up. He was growing.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? a voice of truth in a sea of lies, do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. So, you know, another interesting little story that we'll probably talk about today, the Carl Cameron story. There are all kinds of, there's evidence everywhere of the transition in America. Carl Cameron left Fox News back in 2017, I believe, and now is working for, and really kind of the frontispiece for, a progressive news website. And to me, one of the biggest evidences of, and you know, he has said in his statement that basically he left Fox because it was a bipartisan propaganda outlet and had changed significantly, certainly since he showed up there about 20 years ago. And it's interesting because when I think of Carl Cameron, I think, of course, of that four-part series that he did on Israeli spying back in December of 2001. It was supposed to be a 12-part series. It was only four parts. And, of course, those four parts got scrubbed from Fox, and there's been an ongoing attempt to scrub those four-part series from the entire internet, even though it's preserved on the Internet Archive and in other places you can find it. But that, to me, is what I think of when I think Carl Cameron. And so, you know, again, as in The Matrix, Smith subsuming everyone, everywhere, that's kind of what seems to be happening. And so this is just another bit of evidence to support the soft coup, or the takeover of America, this ideological coup that has been happening for decades now. And it's very unsettling to me. And really, the dividing line seems to be that there are folks, you know, we have the socialized program I talked about last week, the socialization of everything, meaning basically crippling people, creating an anemia social general anemia, where people are incapable of taking care of themselves, and really, because of the generational social dole, the creeping social dole, really not interested in taking care of themselves, and of course not one another, everyone expecting some agency somewhere to take care of themselves. You have those folks, the crippled, and, you know, of course we can't use those terms because that's just not, that's not politically correct, or it's just too insensitive. But that's what it is. It's crippling people. And so you have that contingent in society, and then you have the folks who, you know, I remember one of my grandfathers, grandfather on my mother's side, who had cash enough to leverage things and do things if he wanted to, but would go to the auctions and things and buy not old, but, you know, fairly late model used cars and trucks and things like that, and pay cash for them. And it was a humble but happy existence. They had a garden and they lived modestly, but modestly well. And it reminds me of Thomas Jefferson, his remarks about liberty. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. And when you decide to leverage yourself, there is a cost, literally and figuratively. So to count that cost is wise. And there are folks who are still doing that. There are folks who are paying attention that see what's going on. We've been reduced to a sort of caricaturization of ourselves in this society. And there are people who understand that and are the gravity of it, the magnitude of it, and are have come to grips with it, are trying to deal with it. I know some of them. I have some good friends who understand the reality of this. And then there are the folks that just think that apparently because there are socialized programs, everything grows on trees and there's nothing to worry about. And none of this technology or the pharmaceuticals or anything is a danger to any of us, even though the commercials tell us about the technology and the drugs and things that they are harmful. So I don't understand how that doesn't seem to register with folks. It's just, it's incredible what has happened in this country over the last generation or two. An article about baby boomers, I'll talk about that too. That seems to be the line of demarcation. Oops.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. So that seems to be the dividing line, again, in my humble estimation. Those who see what's happening and understand it, understand the magnitude. You know, I've talked about it before. This is I guess on the resume, this would be considered the soft skills part of the resume, so to speak. But you know, you think about it. I think back on growing up. I was born and raised, at least in part, in Libby, Montana, and those were good days. Born in 1970, graduated high school in 1989. First grade was, well, you know, first grade, the first time was interesting. The second time was less eventful, shall we say. So, but graduated high school in 1989 and took a lot of things for granted, as I think many of us do. You know, those were good times in Libby, Montana, and you, especially I think in today's America, for as far as I can tell, probably at least since my generation and maybe before, maybe the boomer generation, we've been fed this perception that things are fantastic. America's fantastic. We've had this idea of American exceptionalism. Things are always going to be fantastic in America. There's always going to be continual growth, probably 6, 7, 8% growth, even though inflation runs about 3-5% a year. You know, growth is always going to outpace inflation. We shouldn't have inflation, period, not based on this funny money system, certainly. And perpetual growth is an anomaly. It doesn't happen. It's a what do you call that? I can't think of the term. In nature, it's not real. It doesn't exist, perpetual growth. So we get fed this narrative, and you take certain things for granted. I know I took certain things for granted growing up, and now I regret that. One of those things that I think we need to do a better job of, and who knows, maybe this is just part of growing up and becoming more mature and sober-minded, but I think we don't do a very good job these days of remembering history and our family story. And as we know on this network, we're encouraged not to remember certain things. But when you start thinking about it, certain people and certain family groups are telling their story. They have been telling their story for a while. Certain family groups get a platform, and we've lost the original social network, as Coleman puts it. I've mentioned that a few times. I really appreciate that Coleman commercial. Folks sitting around a campfire, and the slogan is, "This is the original social network," and that's what it was. What happens when you turn those things off? It's really incredible when you start to shut things off, all of this entertainment and amusement that we're surrounded by constantly. And I have made the observation, I actually had a conversation with family recently and recounted it to friends, the fact that we are fed the line from the Bernaysian propagandists that technology and technocracy, all of these technological advances, all of this automation, one of the best things that it does is it frees us up from all of these menial tasks, they say. We don't have to be bothered with these menial and redundant tasks anymore. It's just, you know, it's beneath us to perform these menial tasks. Better suited for technology that does it more reliably and consistently, faster, more economically, and all those things. But what do we do with the free time that we have left on our hands? And it seems to me, again, in the sort of fashion that Jaron Lanier talks about in You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, that time, essentially, that recaptured or reclaimed time from menial, so-called menial tasks, is squandered, largely. How many folks are taking that time when they, you know, the farmer who... And that's probably not a fair example. I think farmers are generally very judicious folks by nature, certainly before the Agricultural Adjustment Act, the AAA. But how many folks take the time that they recapture through automation to go read the classics or study some subject in depth that they always wanted to and never thought they'd ever have enough time to? It seems to me that more and more folks are squandering any recapture or reclaimed time on amusement and entertainment. And Stephen Covey would say, what would that be, the quadrant four stuff? The not urgent, not important stuff. That's kind of where the recapture, reclaimed time seems to get spent by the majority, those, the undisciplined folks. And we have many of us in the society, I think, who are undisciplined in a variety of ways. But the way Jaron Lanier put it in You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, that section titled Silicon Juvenilia, this is the mindset that seems to have captivated our society. It goes along with the religion of scientism that technocrats adhere to. But in chapter 14 of Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, chapter titled Home at Last, My Love Affair with Bacalardi and Neoteny. I've mentioned it several times, but isn't this what we see in the broader cross-section of society? Listen to how people talk. If you're old enough to remember the World War II generation, there was a sober-mindedness. There was a sobriety. They were not humorless curmudgeons. My grandfather on my dad's side was a very funny guy. He was one of those marvelous people who could tell the same joke on a regular basis. I mean, I think he probably told the same jokes. He recycled the same jokes, and he had enough jokes, I think, to last about a week. And every week he'd tell the same jokes, but they were always funny. Same jokes, same anecdotes, same stories, often repeated, but funny. But if you got on his bad side, you would rue the day. That was something you would regret. But there was a sober-mindedness to those folks, especially coming through the Great Depression, I would say. You know, to come from such humble experiences and then to, you know, to have a strong, solid work ethic, to believe that as difficult as things could ever get, you could work your way through it. You could find a way, and with just enough tenacity and fortitude and elbow grease, with a hard enough work ethic, you could work your way through hard times. That, to me, is what that generation represents, particularly. And since then, again, this socialized mindset has people in America believing in some kind of chimerical myth that things are free and, you know, since machines work better and faster anyway, might as well just leave that to machines. And it's part of that learned helplessness mindset that is so pervasive in so many other ways. Might as well just leave that to somebody. You know, it's difficult. It takes time. All is lost anyway. Might as well let that go. Learned helplessness. So a companion to that is this sense of juvenilia that Jaron Lanier writes about. And this, to me, sounds like America today in contrast to the World War II generation. Lanier wrote, "It's worth repeating obvious truths when huge swarms of people are somehow able to remain oblivious." Again, to me, that begs repeating. It's worth repeating obvious truths when huge swarms of people are somehow able to remain oblivious. Huge swarms of people are somehow able to remain oblivious. That is why I feel the need to point out the most obvious overall aspect of digital culture. Think about this. Think about how pervasive digital culture is. I mean, the most ardent Luddite is probably, you know, has a smartphone and is connected in some way, probably has email, probably has a few other things. So Jaron Lanier writes, "It's worth repeating obvious truths when huge swarms of people are somehow able to remain oblivious. That is why I feel the need to point out the most obvious overall aspect of digital culture. It is comprised of wave after wave of juvenilia." Or I would maybe argue a nuanced refinement, layer upon layer, or iteration cycle, or generation upon generation of juvenilia. In other words, it builds upon itself. Some of the greatest speculative investments in human history continue to converge on silly Silicon Valley schemes that seem to have been named by Dr. Seuss. On any given day, one might hear of tens of hundreds of millions of dollars flowing to a startup company named Ubbly Dubbly or Meetickly. These are names I just made up, but they would make great venture capital bait if they existed. Think about it. Lyft and Uber, for example, Amazon, Facebook, Google. Do they mean anything? I read the article about the ambiguous company name, Avista, from Washington Water Power, which has a stately, noble sort of ring to it. Avista is very ambiguous and very sort of amorphous. At these companies, one finds rooms full of MIT PhD engineers not seeking cancer cures or sources of safe drinking water for the underdeveloped world, but schemes to send little digital pictures of teddy bears and dragons between adult members of social networks. At the end of the road of the pursuit of technological sophistication appears to lie a playhouse in which humankind regresses to nursery school. It might seem that I am skewering the infantile nature of internet culture, but ridicule is the least of my concerns, Jaron Lanier writes. True, there's some fun to be had here, but the more important issue, or the more important business, is relating technological infantilism, neoteny, to a grand and adventurous trend that characterizes the human species. And there is truly nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying the internet is turning us all into children. Isn't that awful? Quite the contrary. Cultural neoteny can be wonderful, but it's important to understand the dark side. Actually, I would be cynical. I think that Jaron Lanier did a masterful job in his books, as he does in his talks, of avoiding vilification of certain people and even people groups, but raising awareness and drawing attention to key issues. I think he does a masterful job. But I would actually say the internet is turning us all into children. It's turning us all into mindless automatons and children. And as a brief aside, I think of his preface when he says it's early in the 21st century, the preface to his book. And the book was published in 2010. So less than a decade ago, and he wrote, it's the early 21st century, and that means these words will mostly be read by non-persons, automatons, or numb mobs composed of people who are no longer acting as individuals. He went on to expound a little bit, and then he wrote, reactions will repeatedly degenerate into mindless chains of anonymous insults and inarticulate controversies. That sounds like that could be Facebook's mission statement. And then skipping to the end, he wrote, and yet it is you, the person, the rarity among my readers, I hope to reach. The words in this book are written for people, not computers. And Lanier wrote, I want to say, you have to be somebody before you can share yourself. So getting back, I would say, yes, the internet is turning us all into children. There's an infantilism. There is a Pan syndrome that to me is associated with technology. They are directly proportional, I would say. But then just to conclude the thought, that section, Golding-esque neoteny, Bacalardian neoteny, and infantile neoteny, he wrote, everything going on in digital culture from the ideas of open software to the emergent styles of Wikipedia can be understood in terms of cultural neoteny. There will usually be a lovely side and a nasty side to neoteny, and they will correspond to the good and the bad sides of what goes on in any playground. And that is a provocative thought, you know. Thinking of children, there are some children that you just appreciate, and, you know, the senior folks among us will look at some children and thank their parents, oh, your children are so wonderful. Just love watching them play. And then there are other children, not so much, as they say, which is unfortunate for all of us, and the children especially, I would say, that are not brought up properly. But like the Bible says, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from their little bits of play. We have good fortune and shape. Stick around.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Back.
I want the perfect body, want a perfect soul.
Welcome back. So ironically, you know, speaking of Jaron Lanier, and he talks about some of the things we can do. Maybe I'll, you know, I was going to rant about Google for a minute. Maybe I'll save that for the top of the second hour. You know, Jaron Lanier had some ideas. Speaking of Wikipedia, some of the things that we can do to combat the decline of intellect and mental acuity and fortitude and ruggedness and so forth. You know, Google has proven itself really to be the worst sort of, you know, categorized by the worst sort of subterfuge and traitorism. To me, Google really represents the remarks attributed to Cicero, you know, that how the traitor behaves, essentially. And maybe I'll mention that. Misattributed. You know, history seems to record it was Taylor Caldwell in her novel based on the life of Cicero, Pillar of Iron, who reprinted the remarks, but most recently, that is, and it dates back to about 1965, as far as I know, but anyway, the remark is, a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. And treason is one of those words, speaking of lessons of history, we seem to have become unacquainted with this. It's with Pan syndrome, we forget about treason except for when the media tells us that somebody, you know, maybe the president is, he's been naughty on the playground in the little ball crawl or, you know, McDonald's Playland or whatever. Forgot about treason. Anyway, I'll continue that thought when we come back. Stick around. Second hour coming up right after this short break. Be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.